This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
There's a suggestion that these ride-hailing apps have actually contributed to a lot of the congestion that happens during peak hours.
Yeah, so it's become kind of counterproductive in that sense. Okay, so here's the idea, right? The idea of a ride-hailing app is like, hey, you don't need to drive, so you're going to reduce the number of cars on the road.
That's right.
Because you're going to take public transport. And when you get into the city, you're going to have that last mile taken care of by the Grabs and the Ubers and the Lyfts and all these other companies, right? Mm-hmm. Only what happens is everyone's like, hey, I want to make a quick buck mm-hmm. and I want to make some money too, so I'm going to get into my car and get to the city during peak hour and clog it up because I'm just looking for a customer.
And of course, in a city like Manhattan, which this particular article cites, you have about five times the number of distinctive yellow cabs
yep.
operating in the city.
Because they've been taking a hit.
That's right.
Since the introduction of the ride-hailing facilities as well.
And of course, the idea of these ride-hailing apps is to alleviate congestion. And in fact, you've just got a lot of folks just circling around hoping to catch a particular customer for that last mile.
And yet, we still can never seem to get one. And why is that?
And it seems that that experience is very much valid in the context of Kuala Lumpur and Petaling Jaya as well. Because, you know, especially during peak hours, if it's raining, you'll see on your screen the number of cars available. But for some reason or another, you can't seem to get a match when it comes to a particular ride, a particular Grab or Uber.
Well, I think maybe people are being picky, right? With Grab and stuff, as a driver, you get to see where the destination is. Maybe
yes.
it's not somewhere you want to go when it's raining and congested and you want to wait for that surge pricing maybe so you can get a few extra bucks.
But it's the surge pricing that really gives a lot of these drivers that opportunity to make that extra bit of cash.
But you see, if you take a country like, a city like Manhattan or New York, where this survey was done, it's not just the yellow cabs, right? It's right. There are also those black cars, which
yes,
they have in the U.S.,
right.
which
yep,
are
yep.
like which are like high end Uber-ish things. They existed long before the ride-hailing era. And then, of course, there's Uber, there's Grab, not Grab, there's Lyft over there.
A lot of competitors.
And not to mention the other smaller competitors that we've probably never heard of here as well. So there's everyone trying to get a piece of the pie. Now, we don't want, you know, what happened here to happen there. I mean, we like the idea of competition. We don't like monopolies, for example. But until some of these smaller players fall away, you're just going to get more and more people jumping on the bandwagon.
And it's
right?
not going to help with the congestion issue. And, it's going to be an interesting observation to see how public transport, at least in the Klang Valley, how that plays into it once everything gets going as well.
I thought the internet was supposed to solve all our problems. What's going on?
We're talking about how a glut of ride-sharing apps have been causing and not curing congestion. And we're crossing over to Dr. Walter Thesara, Senior Lecturer of Economics at the Singapore University of Social Sciences. Dr. Walter, thank you for being with us on the Evening Edition. So we now know that ride-hailing services are causing congestions in cities, as based on this article in the BBC, but can they actually do the opposite as well to ease congestion?
Well, I think the main contributor to reducing congestion in cities worldwide is basically good public transport. The reason why ride-hailing and private transport are not very good solutions to congestion is simply because even the most efficient ride-hailing system is quite limited in capacity compared to, let's say, a good public bus system or even better, a rail or MRT kind of system. So I think ride-hailing can help to reduce congestion, but only under very particular conditions. For example, single passenger ride-hailing is unlikely to help congestion and probably will make congestion much worse, simply because you have to also think about the impact that the driver is going to cause on a road network when they don't have a passenger with them. Because even the best ride-hailing systems still have substantial underutilized time. So I would say it is not impossible, but it's very difficult actually for ride-hailing to ease congestion simply because it's much less efficient in public transport.
So what about carpool services like ride-hailing apps, for example, GrabShare? Have people proven to be comfortable with the idea of carpooling with absolute strangers?
Well, I think carpooling can be attractive because the cost of taking a carpool ride is substantially less than having the vehicle to yourself. But I think for carpooling to work, for it to actually reduce congestion, there have to be a couple of conditions have to be met. The network has to be fairly dense. Otherwise, carpooling doesn't make any sense. So, for example, if it's unlikely that you have enough people going in the same direction for you to be able to match them up and have them share a vehicle, carpooling simply doesn't work. So carpooling is more likely to work in a very dense city system and during peak periods of the day compared to off-peak periods and basically a less dense city. So, for example, carpooling, I would think, has a bit better chance of being successful in Singapore, where basically the city is a lot denser than, let's say, Kuala Lumpur or Johor Bahru, which tends to be a lot more spread out, simply because the chances you can get somebody going in the same way are going to be a bit lower. Then, of course, pricing and safety are some other important issues. From the carpooling operator, the ride-hailing operator's point of view, pricing is a very sensitive issue because it's not just, of course, about getting more passengers to take your service. It's also about whether the driver feels that they're getting adequate revenue. Because usually the way the carpooling policies work is that if you book a shared ride and no one else shares the ride at the same time, then the driver may not get paid as much, basically, for his or her time. So that is quite a strong disincentive to accept a shared ride for the driver, unless they can be assured that a lot of the time they're going to get, a good sharing or booking rate, basically.
Walter, so we had this debate before in Kuala Lumpur about whether or not to implement congestion charges. What do you think? Is that the way to go?
I think the most important thing for a city like KL to ease congestion is to combine improvements in public transport with some type of demand management, basically for private vehicle travel. And so demand management basically means more or less charging people for using the road system during congested times of day. Now, there are many ways to implement that. You know, many people know that Singapore has electronic road pricing. If you enter the city and use certain roads during peak hours, you have to pay a charge. And this idea is becoming more and more common in many cities throughout the world. Of course, in KL, you already have charges for the expressways in the city center, but to really manage congestion better, these charges really have to be tailored to the peak periods. In other words, they should actually go up when there is more traffic, and this should be the practice basically not just in the expressways but also the main arterial roads, because without demand management, it's actually going to be very hard to keep traffic to a manageable level. You see, the current approach in KL, as in many other cities, in fact, is to respond to high demand for vehicle travel by simply building more roads. But history shows that this is not a good solution because you cannot keep up. People will buy cars and get into cars faster than you can build new roads. That's basically the problem.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Walter. That was Dr. Walter Thesara, Senior Lecturer of Economics at the Singapore University of Social Sciences, with his thoughts on ride-hailing services and traffic congestion. And unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. We're never going to keep up, I guess.
We're addicted to our cars, right? Yeah. We're addicted to our automobiles. And I don't think that'll change, you know, in the sense that when electric cars become, we're going to be like, hey, look, no more petrol. We're not ruining the environment. So why not buy a whole bunch of electric cars?
And what's interesting is that, you know, we're investing so much into this huge public transport infrastructure. And there is going to be that turn of the bell curve where there is going to be a bit of alleviation. But once people figure out their riding habits and their attitudes towards it, it's going to make another turn back as to what is more convenient for the consumer. And I think that's going to be fascinating to observe.
Correct. And whoever can come up with a solution, that person becomes the billionaire.
That's right. Here's some music.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.